talking about this. You know what time it is? We're talking about 2012. It's the time. What is the time? There's a very, very brief surah in the Quran, Surah 103, called The Time. It says, by the time, surely man is at a loss, except for those who know how to work righteous deeds, who exhort each other in the mutual practice of truth, and who have patience and perseverance. Everyone else is lost.
And people ask, why all this is happening right now? Connecting with the 2012 process, there is a beautiful message that is written in one of the sacred Mayan books that is called the Chilam Balam of Chumayel. Chilam Balam means the Jaguar Prophet. And the sentence said, that which cannot pass in 1,000 years can pass in an instant. It is enough that a God breathes and the course of the wind changes. Now is that time. Now God breathes, and all of us, we are in a big shift, in a big transformation of our consciousness.
We also don't really know, as I said, we don't know what 2012 signifies. We don't know how long we have. We do know that we're facing an intensifying biospheric crisis. We know that according to scientific projections, 25% of all mammalian species, maybe all species in general, will be extinct in 30 years. We know that according to scientific projections, all the tropical rainforests on Earth will be gone in 40 years. We know that the oceans are now 90% fished out of large fish. I mean, and in a way, an amazing achievement on our part, because, 30 years ago, the ocean seemed so vast, nobody even thought, that's the thing, it's so recent even to have this understanding that we live on such a limited and fragile way. So clearly, the resource-intensive, extractive, life model that we've created as a global society, is probably not going to be able to continue as is for much longer.
I don't think it can go on much longer. We are already in a very dangerous point. I think we are just about to run out of simple things like water. And when we run out of water, we're going to see some nasty fights going on for it and serious wars. Well, the system, as I said, is just using nature, and we have been so demanding that we have slowly gotten to the point of running out of forests and clean water, and mining is producing incredible pollution where it's happening, and the genetic modified foods are affecting our genetics and producing new illnesses, and all this comes with a very complex social problem of the amount of people that are needing everyday food and goods and money and work. So I think nature is being pretty much damaged by our presence here. As we all know, this is not something new.
And sometimes it's the illusion feels so strong and it's all still going on, that I lose my own perspective on that. But I think if we look at it factually as best we can, and then we have climate change accelerating, that's also very peculiar because sometimes we expect it to get really warm and then it's like freezing in England, and so it's more like the fluctuations are becoming more intense, and it's becoming more unpredictable, the climate, which is affecting agricultural tables, which may change the amount of food that's available, which may lead to mass starvation, which could lead to huge food riots and mass migrations. You know, it seems like all this stuff is coming down the pike, you know, and yet, you know, so then a lot of people, you know, get into this mind frame that, you know, there's going to be a huge death, you know, that two-thirds of the Earth's population is going to die in the next few years.
We're all suffocating, we're asphyxiating, not only in the bad air and the CO2 and everything else that we're creating, we're asphyxiating in our bad ideas. That's the worst part. And we can't, these ideas that we think we let go of these ideas, and then we find that they're chasing us. They're making us run in circles. We can't get rid of them. That's because we have to break out of the shell. We got to get out of the box. We have to just get out of the box completely. Because the box, the point is, the box is shattering anyway.
I was told by the elders that I would live to see the day when up was down, good was bad, right was wrong, and black was white. And we're in that time. And the instruction that went with that was that at that time you must turn 180 degrees and embrace the opposite of what is destroying us. And if you take our economic system right now, for instance, our economic system says, I got mine, you go get yours. That's called free enterprise. And we have that agreement every time we take one of those dollar bills out and exchange it for something. We have agreed that that is the principle under which that exists. So what we must do now is turn 180 degrees and see what its opposite is. And the opposite of I got mine, you got yours, you go get yours, seems to be we're all gifts for each other. If we're all gifts for each other, then we can eliminate human needs in no time at all.
I'm going to close with a reading from the Hermetica, from the Hermetic texts. Hermes was the Greek version of the ancient Egyptian god Thoth. The Romans knew him as Mercury. And in a dialogue, the Hermetica, many of them are dialogues between Thoth, Hermes, and various pupils of his. And in one called the Asclepius, a lament is presented. And it's like a prophecy. It's a bit like the Mayan prophecy. Egypt seems to stand as a metaphor for the whole world in this, and to my mind, for the world in our time. This lament, this prophecy is speaking directly to us. So it's Hermes speaking, and he's saying to Asclepius this: Do you know, Asclepius, that Egypt is an image of heaven? Or to speak more exactly, in Egypt, all the operations of the powers which rule and work in heaven are present in the earth below. In fact, it should be said that the whole cosmos dwells in this our land, as in a sanctuary. And yet, since it is fitting that wise men should have knowledge of all events before they come to pass, you must not be left in ignorance of what I will now tell you. There will come a time when it will have been in vain that Egyptians have honored the Godhead with heartfelt piety and service, and all our holy worship will be fruitless and ineffectual. The gods will return from earth to heaven. Egypt will be forsaken, and the land which was once the home of religion will be left desolate, bereft of the presence of its deities. O Egypt, Egypt, of thy religion nothing will remain but an empty tale, which thine own children in time to come will not believe. Nothing will be left but graven words, and only the stones will tell of thy piety. And in that day men will be weary of life, and they will cease to think the universe worthy of reverent wonder and worship. They will no longer love this world around us, this incomparable work of God, this glorious structure which he has built, this sum of good made up of many diverse forms, this instrument whereby the will of God operates in that which he has made, ungrudgingly favoring man's welfare, this combination and accumulation of all the manifold things that call forth the veneration, praise, and love of the beholder. Darkness will be preferred to light, and death will be thought more profitable than life. No one will raise his eyes to heaven, The pious will be deemed insane, the impious wise, the madman will be thought a brave man, and the wicked will be esteemed as good. As for the soul, and the belief that it is immortal by nature, or may hope to attain to immortality, as I have taught you, all this they will mock, and even persuade themselves that it is false. No word of reverence or piety, no utterance worthy of heaven, will be heard or believed. And so the gods will depart from mankind, a grievous thing, and only evil angels will remain, who will mingle with men and drive the poor wretches into all manner of reckless crime, into wars and robberies and frauds and all things hostile to the nature of the soul. Then will the earth tremble and the sea bear no ships. Heaven will not support the stars in their orbits. All voices of the gods will be forced into silence. The fruits of the earth will rot. The soil will turn barren, and the very air will sicken with sullen stagnation. All things will be disordered and awry. All good will disappear. But when all this has befallen Asclepius, then God, the creator of all things, will look on that which has come to pass, and will stop the disorder by the counterforce of his will, which is the good. He will call back to the right path those who have gone astray. He will cleanse the world of evil, washing it away with floods, burning it out with the fiercest fire, and expelling it with war and pestilence. And thus he will bring back his world to its former aspect, so that the cosmos will once more be deemed worthy of worship and wondering reverence. And God, the maker and maintainer of the mighty fabric, will be adored by the men of that day with continuous songs of praise and blessing. Such is the new birth of the cosmos. It is a making again of all things good, a holy and awe-inspiring restoration of all nature, and it is wrought inside the process of time by the eternal will of the Creator.
All right, so why 2012? That's the big question. And so I pursued this, and I hit upon this connection, or this idea, that the 2012 end date of the long count was intended to target the rare alignment of the December solstice sun with the center of our Milky Way galaxy, or more relevantly to what the Maya were looking at, the dark rift in the Milky Way. And because of precession, we can say that the alignment of the December solstice sun with the dark rift in the Milky Way happens only once every 26,000 years.
So welcome to an event of a lifetime. It's only going to happen every 26,000 years. Don't fall asleep. Don't say I'll do it next life. Oh, no. Understand, you're the lucky one. You won the lottery ticket. This is what you wanted. And ever since you came down here with a lottery ticket, many of you have been trying to leave, haven't you? In fact, I can see many of you haven't even come here. So could you just come here? Not float out there on some tree waiting to go home? This is it. This is what you came for. And this is the only place you want to be. The Earth is a magnificent place of transformation.
My understanding is that there are two calendar cycles. The most popular one is the 5,125-year cycle, which is the so-called the long count, that repeats every 5,100 years. Now, my understanding as a physicist is that we do not experience a catastrophe on the Earth every 5,100 years. So, the calendar may cycle every 27,000 years, or it may cycle every 5,100 years, but I don't think it leads to calamity. In our case, what it leads to is an opportunity for species transformation, transformation of consciousness. And that's really what I'm encouraging here and what I think we can talk about. It gives us an opportunity to move into the spaciousness that's available to us.
There is a lot of confused, I think, because many people thinking or feeling that they were going to finish. For me, this change is, it's a change of frequency of energy. It's the change of the consciousness in people.
So we're on this, all on this path together. All of us. We all heard this call. This whole process is taking us to a point where we actually are going to be experiencing levels and types of harmony that we did not know were possible.
I don't know whether we're going to face some terrible global catastrophe in 2012 or not. I certainly hope not. I hope it will not come down to misery and horror and awful, awful things. There's enough of that in the world already. But I do remember what all the ancient texts say. There isn't a single flood myth. There isn't a single story of the destruction of past civilizations that don't implicate humanity in the story somewhere. Our own behavior, what we do, is part of what we're bringing down on the world right now. What we are manifesting in the world, that is what is coming towards us. We are the authors of this thing, and we can change the story if we want to change it. I firmly believe that. This is the moment of crossroads that we stand at. None of us can effect changes on a macro level. It's impossible to do so. But we can make changes on a micro level. We can make changes in our own lives. We can make changes in our immediate surroundings. Changes for the better. Changes driven by love and by hope. I'm a deeply flawed human being. I have tremendously bad habits and lots of bad aspects to my personality. Over the last decade or so, I've come to look at some of those things objectively, been very much helped by ayahuasca, the brew that I mentioned from the Amazon in doing this. I'm working hard to change my life, to try to be a more nourishing person to people around me. I'm not saying that I'm succeeding. I fail every day, but I'm still trying to do that. And that's really all I can say when we confront something so huge and so overwhelming as the notion of global destruction. No, I can't stop that, but I can stop what I'm doing to contribute to it. And if we all do that, then I believe a huge change in consciousness will come, and the world can move on, and we can look forward to a future for our children and our children's children, and once again bring this bright, beautiful, jewel garden of a planet, bring it back to the place it should be in our lives. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.